There are thousands of people tonight throughout the world who have become totally disillusioned with the philae or the friendship love. Oh yes, many people have been led astray by substitutes for the true meaning of love. And no wonder they are crying from the depth of their being tonight. Where will I find love in a loveless world? Perhaps we don't need to be reminded that in this loveless world, with all of its child abuse, its violence, its broken marriages, divorce, rebellious teenagers, that many people down deep are trying to find love. And I want to tell you tonight that I believe very strongly that our homes, primarily and generally speaking, have become loveless abodes for the strangers that dwell in them. I have a very lovely friend who was very gracious to bring me a song the other day. I was talking with this dear friend about what happens when the last member of a family gets married. And Mom and Dad, who have been together for some 30-odd years, they've been together for the sake of the children. And when the last one gets married and they come home from the reception and they sit down and they turn on the television, and then about midnight, she gets up and looks at him and says, "Who are you?" And I didn't realize that there was a song written, "Who Are You?" Let me say it to you again, that I believe that many of our homes are loveless abodes where strangers dwell. When I was a boy growing up in a country town in the western part of New South Wales, I would often hear my dad say, "Dog eat dog." But I never really understood what that meant for a long time. But in today's society, I know only too well what it means. And it isn't dog that eats dog. It's human that eats human. Or not literally. There's many ways of eating people without tasting their flesh. And so today we have a loveless society. But I still believe that there are many people who are crying tonight and asking the question, where can I find love in a loveless world? There are many teenagers who are involved in the drug scene asking that question. And why are they asking that question? Because they want to be loved. They want to be understood. Have you ever wanted to be loved? Have you ever wanted to be understood? When I studied anthropology, which is the science of man, in college, I learned that we all want to be loved. We all want to be understood. I like to be loved, and I've got a wife who loves me, and I've got children who love me. But they go better than that. They not only love me, they understand me. And when we were in Amsterdam at the drug center way back in 1979, as I sat with those young people there on the Ark, which is a houseboat for rehabilitation of drug addicts, I sat with many Australians, young Australians. And I said to them, why are you here? They said, because we were never loved. We were never understood. And there are many alcoholics tonight who have never been loved, never been understood. But I'm sure that you would all agree with me tonight that if the Christian church, let's forget the denomination tag, that if the Christian church was truly Christian, it would be the place where people could find love and be loved and understood. I can understand why many people today don't want to go to church, generally speaking. Most churches don't love. Most churches don't understand. Most churches don't accept other people. Or they may look a little different. Their cultural behavioral patterns may be a little different. Oh my, we've slipped and fallen short, because you see, the founder of the Christian church is love himself. And John 3:16 in the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that is that God loves you and he loves me. He loves you just as you are. He loves that drug addict out there tonight floundering. He loves that alcoholic who doesn't know how to get home. And he loves you. Now that in itself is a wonderful expression of love. But it didn't stop there. Because Jesus Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, if Christ on the cross loved the church and gave himself up for her, the church also should love. And the church should not only love, but understand. Now, the great truth is simply this, that we can find love in a loveless world, and we can find love in Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul was preaching throughout Asia Minor many years ago, he was preaching to a loveless society of people. However, the more Paul stressed the truth of the real love of Christ, the more people believed and became Christian. Now, one of the churches which God established through Paul was the church at Ephesus. And this is what Paul had to say to that church. He said, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in helping you to find the real love tonight, the agape love, the love of Christ, we call it agape here in Australia. Our American friends call it agape, but it's the love of Christ, this love which is in Christ. And tonight I want to share just four things that Paul is saying in two verses of Scripture here in Ephesians chapter 3. The first thing I want to say tonight about love is this, that there is the comprehension of love. The Scripture says that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length and breadth and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, what is this love of which Paul speaks about here? And how may we know it? Well, this love can only be known to us by experience. But when the Bible uses the word know, it expresses two things. It speaks of intellectual perception or head knowledge. And on the other hand, the Bible speaks of spiritual experience, which is the heart knowledge, the knowledge of the inner being of man, woman, young person. And I want to say to you tonight that I believe there are hundreds of people who, as far as intellectual understanding goes, know far more about the love of Christ than we can ever imagine. But they know very little, if anything, of a heart that is filled with the love of Christ. If Christians totally committed to Christ were filled in their inner being with the love of Christ, there would be many people tonight within the city of Brisbane loved and understood. Someone has said there are two kinds of knowledge, and I want you to listen to this. I thought it was brilliant. I had to write it down. There is the mere rattle of notions in a man's brain or a woman's brain, like the seeds of the withered poppy head. Very many, very dry and very hard, that will make a noise when you shake it. How true that is. Then there is another kind of knowledge, which goes deep down into the heart, and it is the only knowledge worth calling by that name. And that knowledge is the child of love. Now, for those of you who like poetry, and some do like poetry, I like poetry, I like to write poetry sometimes, I want you to think of the poet for a little while tonight. Now, whatever poet you may like to follow and read his work, I'm sure that you will, through the reading of his work, find that it has been a very easy thing for him or her to speak and write about love. You see, when the poet wants to describe its strength, he or she looks at the majesty and grandeur of the hills. When the poet wants to speak of its music, the poet takes the song from the nightingales. When the poet wants to draw attention to its laughter, the poet points to the rippling stream. And when the poet speaks of its gentleness, the poet listens to the rustling of the wind and the leaves. And the poet adds all these together in order that he or she may describe what love really is. And then he or she finds themselves falling in love. They find that no longer can they define it. They are speechless. Or once they spoke of love, but now they find themselves in love. And you know, something like that takes place when we're courting one another before we get married. Or at least it used to. I don't know whether it does today. I haven't been courting anybody for years. And you know, it's exactly the same when you become a Christian, born of God. Indeed, a man, a woman, may have learned the lessons of astronomy, but if he or she is blind, they cannot enjoy the stars. A man or a woman may learn the notes of a Beethoven symphony, but if he or she is deaf, they can never hear music. And it is only as we ourselves experience the love of Christ that we can really know Christ. Many of us, I fear, have a knowledge of what is correct. We have a technique. We have an order. We have a set of rules. We are very proper. We are very orthodox. We are very convincing. But we do not possess this love. And we are not possessed by it, because we are not wholly given unto God. Some time ago I said, and I will say it again, as you walk past that person in need, you can be pious and very religious, and you can stop and you can say, Christ will help you. And the one in need looks up and says, how? And then you're floundering for words, and then you begin to excuse yourself. Let me tell you that you have shown that one in need nothing of the love of Christ. For indeed, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan in order to convey to us that as the priest went that way and as the Levite went that way, it was the Good Samaritan who came to the wounded man who was in need. It was the Good Samaritan who bound up the wounds and who placed the wounded person on his donkey and took him to an inn where he could be cared for. That, my beloved people, is love in action. But when we are wholly given unto God, we are strengthened by God the Holy Spirit and indwelt by the living Christ. Now Paul, continuing to teach the Ephesians about the love of Christ, says in a prayer, that we may be strengthened with might by God's Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. And the Bible clearly teaches that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. He and He alone sheds abroad the love of God in our hearts. It is as we are strengthened daily by the Spirit and as we are indwelt by Christ that we know what it is to possess this love and to be possessed by it. Let me tell you that you can never manufacture love. Let no one think for one moment that he or she can put this kind of love into action by simply manufacturing it. It is only when we are submitted entirely and continually to the influences of the Spirit of God that the fruit of the Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now let's look at what Paul goes on to do now with this great message on love. He now speaks about the comprehensiveness of it. He speaks of the length and the breadth and the depth and the height. Just think for one moment of the breadth of Christ's love. Christ's love has no limit to its space. It embraces all worlds and all people. And what of its length? Well, by its length we mean its eternal duration. It knows no beginning and has no end, and it never changes. It never lapses. It never wearies. And it never wavers. Also, the length of true love is the extent to which it will go. And as the Scripture says, hereby we perceive love, says the Apostle John, because he, Christ, laid down his life for us. Now, what of its depth? The Bible teaches that this love came down from the bosom of the Father, radiant with glory, into this world to take up its place in the lowliness of a servant, to subject itself to sorrows, disappointments, and pain. But it descended far, far below this earth. It descended even unto death itself, and even to the very jaws of hell, in order that we might embrace the poor and the lonely and the frustrated, as Christ did. For indeed, His love is the love that embraces the fallen, the poor, the unwanted. And it lifts them up and brings them to a place of reconciliation. And it is love that says, I love you. I understand you. Now, what of its heights? How high, you might ask? As high as the highest heaven, as high as the throne of God. If to measure its depth, we have to begin at the throne of God and come down to the earth and below the earth to death and to hell itself. In order that we might understand the height, we have to begin in hell itself, recognizing that we were there and that we were ransomed and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, that we were lifted out of the miry clay and our feet were set upon a rock, and we were justified and sanctified. And one day, bless His holy name, we're going to be glorified. Such, beloved people, is the height of the love of Christ. One scholar has said, the love of God is as wide as the limits of the universe, as long as the ages of eternity, as deep as the abyss from which it has redeemed us, and as high as the throne of God itself. But the Apostle Paul is not finished yet. He now talks about the communion of love. Paul says that ye may be strengthened with might by His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now, we have already shared that this love is to be experienced in the soul by the Spirit of God. Now, one of the blessed functions and ministry of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Christ, so that when we see Him in the fullness of His splendor, we can say, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Do you know that? The love of Christ within our hearts becomes a moving, activating force, bringing light and joy and peace. And this love acts upon our minds and upon our hearts continually, upholding and strengthening and inspiring us. Beloved people, without this love of Christ, we are nothing. But with this love of Christ, life is everything. Where do I find love in a loveless world? You find it in Jesus Christ. Now finally, the Apostle Paul draws our attention to the completeness of love. Paul says to us that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. In simple language, the thought or idea here is of a vessel connected with an abundant source external to itself and which will be filled up to its capacity if the connection is complete. One great scholar of days gone by said, we are filled into the fullness of God as a vessel cast into the sea is submerged, then opens into the ocean. The vessel is in the ocean, and the ocean is in the vessel, according to the capacity of the vessel. But the whole ocean is not in the vessel. Yes, we are to be filled unto the fullness. To let the fullness get into us and overflow. And the word filled here, of course, is the key word of the whole epistle. The ultimate goal of the Christian born of God is that we shall come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There is nothing beyond this than to be lost in God and to be filled completely with the love of God. There are many tonight who will cry, beloved, who will sob themselves to sleep, and they will ask the question, where can I find love in a loveless world? And you know the Christian church, if it is the Christian church, has the answer. Because the answer is simply this, that they can find love in Jesus Christ. They can find love in the church of Jesus Christ. Many Christians do not understand the love of Christ. And many Christians are not filled with the fullness of God. For if they were, there would be an overflow to the world out there who cries this night, where can I find life in a loveless world? Finally, we are to keep ourselves in the love of God, guided by the Spirit of God, and do the things that please God. Because if we love Him, we shall keep His commandments. And what is one of the commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As we close, may I ask you lovingly, have you lost your first love for Christ? Of course you remember the moment when you first came to Christ and believed in Him and something wonderful happened. Yes, of course you remember how your whole heart and life was taken up with Him. You were in love with Him. But something has happened. Somewhere you have lost that love. And Christ has come to you again just now. And He says to you, lovest thou Me? Oh yes, you thought He had forgotten you. But the words of the hymn writer are now echoing in your soul. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Oh my, what a moment this is for you, as through the eye gate of faith, you are now again looking into the lovely face of Christ, and you are saying to Him, Lord, Lord, I know that I have failed You. I know that I have wandered far from You. Lord, I know that I have been taken up with many things, and I lack Your love more than anything else. Lord, I come to You right now because I really do love You. But Lord, please give me this love of Yours again. Lord, fill me with Your love. Lord, let it overflow again. Lord, take my life so that my walk in the days that are to come may be walked in love. Fill me with gladness from above. Hold me by power divine. Lord, let the glow of Thy great love through my whole being shine. Fill me with gladness from above. Hold me by power divine. Lord, let the glow of Thy great love through my whole being shine. Oh, if that's your prayer tonight, and you want to be filled again with the love of Christ, you can. We're going to sing an invitation hymn in a moment. It's an invitation hymn that's going to give you an opportunity to say, I need someone to pray with me tonight. I really have lost the love of Christ in my life, and I need prayer. I want to come back. I want to know the love of Christ again. And perhaps you've never known the love of Christ, and you've been crying from the depth of your being, where can I find love in a loveless world? You can find it in Jesus Christ. We're going to make a simple suggestion, no embarrassment. But during the singing of this hymn, if the Spirit of God has so spoke to your heart and you want people to pray with you and share with you and talk with you, I'm going to suggest that you just come down and stand at the front of the church, and the men of the church will come alongside of you and they'll pray with you and they'll help you. Perhaps you've never been a Christian. And you see, really, what is a Christian? A Christian is one who is born of God. One who comes and gives their life to Christ Jesus. Maybe you want to do that. And perhaps you're going to find difficulty in coming. Then ask a friend to come with you. There's no problem about that. And you might say, well, look, I want some instruction. I want some help and I want some prayer in that matter. Well, all you have to do is just come forward publicly so that we know that you need help. We'll pray with you. We'll give you a literature. But don't go home tonight without the love of Christ. Because you don't have to go home tonight and sob yourself to sleep on that pillow. You don't have to sob anymore and say, where can I find love in a loveless world? There's no embarrassment. We're not here to make an exhibition of you. We're here so that you can find afresh the love of Christ. And you can do all of that while we sing this hymn. 375. In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. And when I took Him at His word, forgiven, He lifted me. I can tell you tonight on the authority of God's word that that happened for Beryl on a Friday night in May 1959. And the following Tuesday night it happened to me. And we both became Christians born of God in the Billy Graham Crusade in Sydney. We had a marriage of 6 years, which was a marriage of hell. And when we fell in love with Christ and filled with the love of Christ, we fell in love with one another. And we've been in love ever since. I still take her out to dinner, young people, and I still take her parking, but I won't tell you where. But you know, the love of Christ can fill you tonight, can fill your heart right now as we sing. The hymn is 375. And as we sing the hymn, the Spirit of God speaks. You just come if you need prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for those who hear Your still small voice so clear. We thank You for those who are still hearing that voice. And we thank You that long after the voice of any preacher has finished, the voice of the Holy Spirit Himself goes on speaking. And so we know that He will speak throughout the night.
And so, our Father, we pray now that your grace and your mercy and your peace will be our portion now and always. Amen. For a time of quiet meditation, then I would encourage you to greet one another, tell one another who you are.